personal foul. Unsportsmanlike conduct.
Astree tackled the quarterback. He's giving him business down there. That's a 15-yard penalty.
Bit of history, Dal, as first of all, we are back this week.
Yay.
We took an unexpected absence a week ago.
Chris, if you're listening, this is for you.
Yeah, so your nephew and my uncle can leave us alone. We're back. It's fine.
Yeah,
stop yelling at us.
I had a nephew who's, you know, he's right in the grind. He's got two little girls, and he's got a job, and he's got a rent, and a wife, and he wants to listen to the sports podcast. Dang it!
You need a little something for that commute, Dal, and that's what we're here for. We're here to fill you with our opinions about everything as you make your commute to work, because that's exactly what you're into.
We're here to keep you awake. Hey, wake up! Don't fall asleep.
Hey, a bit of history, though, over this last week. A bit of a minor thing. He's still chasing a much bigger goal, but Alex Ovechkin officially passes Wayne Gretzky the most road goals in NHL history.
Which is nuts. Anytime you pass Wayne Gretzky doing anything, if it's on the interstate, it's a big deal.
He's still 101 total goals away, but lest we forget, Wayne Gretzky, 20 years in the league. Ovechkin is currently on year 18. So if you're going to be that Mr., well, let's be fair here, guy, he's got the rest of this year and then two more years, Dal, to make up 101 goals and catch Wayne Gretzky.
I never thought we'd see anybody even come close. And maybe we won't. Maybe Ovechkin won't get any, a whole lot. I mean, he'll get somewhat closer.
I'd imagine he passes Gordie Howe this year, though, for second place.
Which is, yeah.
He's only seven behind him.
That's rarefied air. Amazing player, especially. I'm glad he finally got his ring a couple years ago.
And he sure celebrated like he finally
won
his ring.
Well, he should have. he waited long enough. So, that's amazing. Wayne Gretzky was so far and above and out in front of so many players for so long. It's kind of, you kind of forget. And it takes that long to try and catch up to the guy. So, that's pretty neat.
Yeah, Alex Ovechkin. Obviously, still nowhere really near Gretzky in the point chase. But if you can say that you passed Wayne Gretzky in any major career statistical category, I mean, that's just to be the greatest pure goal scorer in the history of your sport. I mean, we need to hold Alex Ovechkin's name with a little bit more reverence, I think, going forward.
Yeah.
One ring or not. Man can score.
How many rings does he have to have? Yeah, I mean, he doesn't have to have any, and he'd still be considered one of the best of all time. And so,
I think he falls into that same Peyton Manning predicament where we'd be remembering him a lot more
except
fondly,
with less teeth.
I was about to. We'd remember him with a lot more reverence, I think, if he didn't basically share his entire career with a guy that was winning championships left and right.
You're talking Sidney.
I'm talking about Crosby. Yeah.
Sidney Crosby.
Now, Jonathan Toews also with three career Stanley Cups. So does Patrick Kane, for what that's worth. But people don't really throw those two into the same conversation. I just have to pat my Blackhawks on the back because I have to, because they suck now. So
well, it doesn't matter. Yeah. You have all those championships to keep you warm.
It's true.
I'm still a Bulls fan, but that's warmth is getting, it's pretty distant at this point.
Hey, no, we're past the five-year mark, by the way.
I know.
Our last one was 2015.
But there's still a lot of people be like, well, they won six champions, the best of all time. It's like, yeah, but that's been a long time ago. Long time ago for the Bulls.
The Bulls would be like the 29th best franchise in NBA history if it wasn't for the 90s.
Oh, yeah. If it wasn't for Michael Jordan.
Essentially.
But we got him.
We can also talk some baseball news here real quick. The tampering period has begun, so MLB free agents are allowed to make negotiations with teams. A pair of agreements have been reached, both of them involving my White Sox. One of them is a former player and beloved team captain, is signing with the Houston Astros on a three-year deal. Jose Abreu likely to become the first baseman of the World Series champion Houston Astros. And oh God. Is that not the most disgusting sentence I've ever had to say on the show?
It's pretty gross.
The White Sox, though, did pad their starting rotation a bit, signing Mike Clevinger, formerly of the Cleveland, when he was there, Indians. Last two seasons, he spent with the San Diego Padres. Very solid starting pitcher, should pad out their rotation. And Aaron Judge, officially, it's been confirmed now, it's not just a rumor, has an 8-year, $300 million contract offer on the table from the Yankees. He has not agreed to it or signed it yet.
He's not going to sign that.
No. $300 million.
Not these days, folks. Not these days. Heck, the Yankees paid it.
He wants to buy Washington, is what he wants to do.
A-Rod got $250 from him. And A-Rod's an old man. Come on, Yankees. If you want to keep him, you're going to have to pay. And someone's going to, which is exactly why he didn't sign it.
I am hearing strong rumors that the San Francisco Giants are becoming the Vegas odds favorite.
Please, no. The NL West is already too hard.
Dal, I don't mean to rub the salt in, but it wouldn't matter. Aaron Judge isn't what's going to prevent the Rockies from winning that division.
Maybe he'll go to Colorado. And he'll just hit dinger after dinger.
Wow, Aaron Judge hit his 64th home run of the season.
As the Rockies
go 81-81.
71-91.
And then in college football, we have our penultimate rankings. As of right now, USC would be in.
Who knew that... Who knew that Michigan was going to do that to Ohio State? That was impressive. I wasn't expecting that at all. So they've jumped up to number two. Of course,
I hate both those teams so much.
Well, I don't. I hate Ohio State though. So I'm actually.
I am about even with.
Here's the thing: Ohio State has beaten Michigan so many times in the last 20 years. That it's finally, this is actually, it's been 20 years since Michigan beat him twice in a row, which just happened. And so it's actually one of those things where you forget how much you hate Michigan because they were always getting beat by Ohio State.
Oh, I never forgot how much I hated Michigan.
And so now they're up to number two. Georgia, of course, number one. TCU up to number three.
Hey.
Which is
they're probably going to get slaughtered in those playoffs. But
former Mountain West school, represent.
I do appreciate their inclusion. Just because I am definitely that sports fan that I used to say, it's not that I actually hated the Patriots or that I hate the Chiefs right now. They're not the Packers. They're not the Cowboys. They're not even in our division. I get bored is the problem. I go, I have seen you before. I'm bored of you now. So now I hope you don't make it anymore. And that's literally it. It's the ficklest thing, but they're not my team, so I'm allowed to do that, I guess. And even though I'm convinced TCU is going to get slapped around in the playoffs, it's just nice to not be bored, isn't it? Visually, to go, ooh, a newbie. Oh, that's fun. I haven't seen you here before. That's neat. Much like Cincinnati a year ago, I was so excited that Cincinnati was in the playoff. I didn't care that Alabama slapped the teeth right out of them. Because you know what? They were in there, and it was different.
Are you sure? Was there any teeth in that matchup?
Notre Dame did fall to USC as well. But bowl eligible. They're still in the top 25, by the way. Notre Dame, 4 losses and kept a ranking. How about that?
Yeah. And also, you know, I'm disappointed in you, Aaron. It's World Cup time. You haven't brought up soccer at all.
Oh, the USA beat Iran.
Okay, now come on. I am not like Mr. Soccer. In fact, I look at these people who, and there's thousands of them, at least hundreds of them, that have gone to Qatar to cheer for the United States. That right there is brave enough. And then you're cheering for them against Iran. Please say it correctly.
It did, if nothing else, though, even though we lost the first game that they played.
We didn't lose. It was a draw.
No, then they tied with England.
We tied with Wales, too.
Ah, I see.
Should have won that one.
And then we beat Iran to advance to the bracket of 16.
The knockout round.
First time since 2014, I believe. So
Well, and it's been since 2002 since we've won a match in the knockout round.
The U.S. men's team is not good at the soccer, but
that's not true.
They're in there.
Okay, people flip the bleep out to make the World Cup in this world.
We are one of the top five largest countries on the planet.
I'm just saying.
I am inherently expecting that in every team sport, the United States should be, to use an Olympic term, we should be meddling. We need to be in the top three teams. Otherwise,
but we don't.
Thumbs
We've
down.
Never been in the top three.
Exactly.
We made the semifinals once.
That's
in the 30s. That's the farthest thing.
Our hockey team and our basketball team laugh at our soccer team, Dal.
I'm just saying.
They cackle.
I'm not like a guy that's going to sit here and get into one of those arguments with soccer and football. But I really do respect the level of skill that it takes to get to and do what they're doing right now. If you watch a match, that field is freaking huge. It's mm-hmm. a big field. And that ball, as they're passing it to each other, is just pinpoint mm-hmm. with their foot. And everybody is what the phrase is, one touching. They're one touching everything. So it's not like, you and I, a ball comes to us like, oh, okay, I'll stop it and then I'll kind of get it ready so I can get ready to kick it again. And then I'll shuffle my feet and then I'll kick it. And then hopefully it'll go these guys are putting it where they want on a dime. And it's to do it for that long under that level of physical exertion is really impressive to me. I'm never going to deny
the athleticism and skill.
And Aaron, am I going to sit here and go, okay, you've got random NFL game here and random soccer match here. Which one are you going to watch? That's not a competition to me. I'm going to watch the NFL.
Yes.
But
my complaint wasn't that our soccer players aren't good because, yes, their sport is incredibly difficult. I mean relative to they're not as good as, like, roughly 10 other developed countries on
sure.
the planet.
It's sort
literally
of like,
constantly.
It's sort of like the Winter Olympics. You just tip your hat to Norway, man. They're better at it. Even in the Winter Olympics in the U.S.
Not always at hockey, though.
That's true, but I'm just saying.
USA, baby.
But I'm just saying. Anyway, it was awesome. For them to beat the Iraqis, they've never been to the knockout round.
It was Iran. Don't make that mistake in either of those countries.
Yes, that's true. Iranians. Well, I was trying so hard to say it correct. There was that whole interaction with the Iranian journalist
mm-hmm.
Talking to one of the U.S. players and kind of chewed him out for not pronouncing the name of the country correct. And then went on to ask him about how he felt about representing a country as racist as the United States. And then I was thinking to myself, can women even show their face in Iran? Anyway, this guy handled it amazing. In fact, go check out my Twitter feed. I retweeted it. That's who you want being the ambassador for your country. It was amazing. Mm-hmm. Anyway, but even as big of a douche canoe as this journalist was from... And again, I'm sitting there saying it right from Iran. He pointed out, it's like, you guys are all saying it wrong. Can we please just get it right? You can't even say our country's name right. Because let's be honest, we're Americans. We have kind of a lazy word palette. So we tend to slur and slang things. And
speaking of.
And we don't care if it's correct. So let's be honest. It's like Iran, Iraq. Anyway, he pointed out it's Iran. So I've been trying to say it right, and during that whole thing, I actually said the wrong country.
Speaking
Sorry.
Of Iran,
yes, there you go.
They're also petitioning to FIFA that the United States should be punished in their next round matchup because the United States men's team's official social media page posted a picture of the standings and got the Iranian flag incorrect, and therefore the athletic team should be punished in some way by FIFA, whether by a fine or something like that.
Well, I never said they weren't petty.
This is the funniest thing I've ever heard.
Well, I never said they weren't petty, and if you watch, and honestly, if you watch the end of that match, there was 9 minutes of stoppage time at the end, which is just torture, because every second of that can be... Soccer's a cruel sport, man. Mm-hmm. You can control the whole match and still lose. Mm-hmm. And so then that almost... And with that one, if the Iranians had scored and tied it, even if it had ended in a tie, the U.S. would have been done. Mm-hmm. And Iran would have went. So anyway, I thought it was awesome. I'm looking forward to... this Saturday, the U.S. men's team taking on the Netherlands, which, as you pointed out, are better at soccer than the U.S. on average. they are ranked 8th in the world, which, based on that, they should win the matchup because that would put them into the quarterfinals, and that's the last 8 teams. But then again, maybe. All you got to do is believe, man. Anyway, go U.S. USA. Woo-hoo! USA.
And should we get into it? By the way, no one in our listeners will believe me, I guess, unless they're in our league. But I did beat you last week, thanks weirdly to the Bears.
It's about
game
time.
In Pick'em.
By the way, I'm up to 3rd.
Yeah.
I'm ranked 3rd now in our Pick'em league.
Officially, you're tied for 2nd.
Whoa.
Yeah, you're 107, and my dad is at 107.
Here's how sad that is. I don't even know how to find the standings on this. I can't even find it.
You got to get the mobile app, I guess, and go to Weeks.
I just think it's funny.
Tick Picks is 5 ahead of you guys. He's at 112. He or she.
All I know is it has my total points, and it has my rank. It says 3 of 14, and then my win-loss. I am 107 and 72.
I am at 103, so let's see if I can gain 4 on you in 1 week.
Oh, Aaron, maybe someday you will be able to enjoy the football acumen that I do on a daily basis.
We got another couple of games this week, by the way, where injury reports will dictate if my picks stay the same on Sunday.
And hats off to you. You made the change, and I was too lazy. I didn't do it. you changed once Justin Fields went down last week.
Trevor Siemian wasn't going to beat anybody.
You made that change, and I don't know. I got enamored with leftovers or pie or something.
Which is fair.
It's fair, but it cost me. It cost me a pick.
Speaking of, did your family have any turkey bowl going on, Dal?
Turkey bowl.
Turkey bowl. On Thanksgiving, you go out into the yard. And No?
We used to do stuff like that. See, here's the thing, Aaron. My family is old.
I see.
I am the youngest of my family. And we used to do that kind of stuff. We used to go out and throw the ball a little bit and do things like that. And now it's like, let's put our feet up and eat turkey and pie.
So I actually didn't do one with my family this year, but a couple of my old friends from high school, I was back in town. They decided to have a turkey bowl at the old field. So we kept score. Nice. We played a full field game. I invited my little brother, who's now a senior in high school. So he's now kind of old enough to run with the big boys.
Well, yeah.
And I thought it was hilarious.
So did he just finish his senior season of football?
I believe so.
And how did they do?
I don't know how Hillsborough did.
What a terrible brother.
I am.
Come on, man.
But anyhow.
That's bull crap.
None of my friends are aware of this, but he's about like 6'1" or so.
So shorter than you.
Shorter than me, significantly quicker than I am. Significantly. He's skinnier than I am, much faster, much quicker.
He's wiry.
He should have been more of a track kid.
We still can.
Anyhow, so he comes out to play with us. They pick him for the other team. We end up playing 2 games. We flip teams halfway through. The first game, they pick him. My team makes me cover him because Kyler's on my team, and he knows that Braden is mildly athletic. So I get stuck with him, and I am the lucky.
You're so condescending.
No, not stuck with him. No, I had to cover him.
You're saying that mildly athletic.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. How did his team? I don't know. I don't know how his team did. You're such a jerk big brother. So as a little brother, that hurts, man.
Anyhow, so he basically roasts me on every play. He's just making quick cuts. Gets to the outside.
Mildly athletic.
Beats me deep. I can't run with him. His teammates refused to even look our side of the field. And at the end of game one, he's walking back to the huddle, and I hear their quarterback, his name's Austin, and he goes, "Oh man, blah blah blah, my team ended up winning 8-7. The first game was close."
Ooh.
Yeah. We just go by touchdowns. So 8 touchdowns to 7 touchdowns.
What are you, playing soccer?
Yeah, well, we're not kicking field goals in a game of 5 on 5.
Then do 6.
No one wanted to math, Dal. Anyhow, so we're walking back.
I disagree fundamentally with how you do life, okay? Pretty much everything that's out of your mouth in the last 5 minutes.
So he walks back, and Austin, their quarterback, goes, man, that was, you know, blah, blah, blah. He goes, no, you know, it was hard because no one was getting open, and I can't even throw over there because Feely's covering. And I just started laughing. I'm like, it is, thank God that he just had this weird reverence for the fact that I am tall and over there, because if he had been throwing to my brother all game, they would have scored a touchdown on almost every play because he was beating
Maybe he's not a very good quarterback.
So the second game, they split it up again. We're like, all right, redraft. First pick, one of the guys takes me. I'm like, okay, I'll play over here. The other dude decides to take one of his best friends from high school, which now leaves my brother available for the third. And I tap our captain. I'm like, take Braden, take Braden. So he takes Braden. He comes over. We win the second game 10-0. As I said, don't worry, I'll play quarterback. So I've been throwing to Braden since he was 4, and we were in the backyard. So I have his timing down, I mean, like that. I know every single step he's going to take at this point.
And yet you don't know how his team did his senior season. No,
listen, my brother didn't actually go out for any sports. That's okay. The thing. So okay. I'm not obligated to keep track of the high school's teams.
You're right. I assumed he played on the team.
Oh, no. Yeah, we always make fun of him for that, actually, because he's arguably the most athletic kid in our family, just naturally. He's faster than us. He actually has the same vertical I had in college right now in high school. He jumped, I believe he said it was a 36.
Wow.
In high school. He's way more athletic than us, literally refuses to play organized sports because he says, I don't really like any of the kids I go to school with. I don't want to be teammates with them. And I'm like, you could just play for the fun of it.
We should have him move out here. He'd have loved it out here. We had a kid that did that this year for our local team. He was a senior. You have to move when you're a senior, which sucks anyway. I mean, his name's Wyatt Krog.
Oh, yeah.
And Wyatt moved into our community.
Doesn't he have long blonde hair?
Yeah.
Yeah, so he and Braden could have been clones.
he moved into our community, and then all he did was catch 89 passes for over 1,200 yards and, I think, 8 touchdowns this year.
Well, there you go, Dal. Just pretend he did move here and changed his name to Wyatt.
But I just think it's and our local team won the state championship, and it's just I don't know that we do that without him. Yeah, moved in from Racine, Wisconsin.
And, oh, gross.
And supposedly where he was at, just, you know, they didn't win a lot of games. And he gets here, and they're winning, and he's having fun, and he's just like, this is awesome.
But yeah, so anyhow, last game, Turkey Bowl. I'm just like, well, I know Braden. I think I threw all 10 of the touchdown passes to just him. Just, hut. All right, their man coverage on him again. There you go. Right in stride. Caught. Yep, he's faster than their players. This is funny. Thanks for giving me my own flesh and blood to throw to. That's easy.
That's a nubile 18 years old. The rest of you are realizing, uh-oh.
You remember Kyler. We had him on the show, right?
Yeah.
Easily the funniest one. I can say this because he ended up being okay. So we're all going to laugh at Kyler now for a second.
Okay.
It was first down and 10. We're at midfield. I go, hut. Everyone's running around. No one's getting open. So we play 5 seconds, and then you're allowed to just rush the quarterback. The quarterback only gets one run per drive because there's just too much open field. So you have to kind of strategize when you use your one run. I didn't want to use it yet, and I just noticed Braden is just kind of jogging at the line of scrimmage because he ran deep on the last play. So I said, all right, fine, here you go. They're blitzing me. Here, Braden. He goes, all right, got it. Runs upfield, and he does the old Matt Forte in London, if you've seen that play where he splits the two Buccaneers and they tackle each other, and then he scores a touchdown.
It's been too long.
Anyhow, flip it to Braden. He runs. He makes one sideways cut. Kyler and the defender that was covering Braden end up tackling each other behind him, and Braden goes for a 50-yard touchdown. Kyler thought he dislocated his shoulder doing it, and I said, there you go, Braden. You injured a guy in two-hand touch football. This is the most incredible thing I've ever seen.
Without touching anything.
So
that's like Barry Sanders. It's like Barry Sanders hurt people without touching them.
So, moral of the story, thank you, Austin, for refusing to throw to Braden.
Moral of the story, pick the fast kid.
It's very effective in two-hand touch football.
Yeah, especially when, if you're, well, I'm speaking for myself, old and fat.
Speaking of dynamite connections, though, I would really love to see, as we go into Pick'em, the Josh Allen to Stephon Diggs thing start exploding again like it did in weeks 1 through 7 because I have both of them in fantasy.
He had a line this so at that on that game on Thanksgiving and the last final drive, the game winning drive, Allen puts this ball over the middle. It was in the air for about 30 plus yards and it was an absolute bullet. And
one Diggs caught.
Yes, and Diggs catches it about midfield, and it helped set up that final score so they could win. Anyway, so people were asking Allen about this this last week, and he, just the way that he put it made me laugh. He goes, yeah, I had to put both cheeks into that one.
I'm going to take Buffalo, as Josh Allen has a tendency to kind of molest the Patriots a little bit.
He's going to put both cheeks into it this week.
I could really use him doing that to Stephon Diggs. You and Diggs need to get the cheek-to-cheek connection going.
I think Buffalo's defense has a little bit of a bounce-back game here. They've been hit hard with injury.
I'm told that Josh Allen is now for the first time practicing in full all week. So maybe that's his good. Elbow is fully healed.
Well, but more than that, I mean, Greg Russo obviously hides out for the year. They've been missing a lot of players on defense. When Poyer doesn't play, that's a big deal for their defense. Mm-hmm. I think this is going to be one of those bounce back games.
Von Miller might have just missed a bullet.
Talk about dodging a huge bullet there. He's even talking about coming back sooner than he probably should. But yeah, when that happened, people thought, Von Miller's done. Mm-hmm. He's not. But I think the defense for Buffalo this week has a big game against Mac Jones. And I think Mac Jones throws at least a couple of picks this week.
Which would also be great because I have the Buffalo defense as well.
So I'm going Buffalo, obviously. And third straight week on a Thursday for Buffalo, and then they finally get the little mini bye, what they call it. You get 10 days for your next game.
Just so we're clear, the mini bye, I don't know, I hype up, you know, that Fields resurgence in the second half. Bears fans love to point out that the Justin Fields, you know, he's the second highest rated quarterback since week 7. He leads in this. He's got I believe it's now 12-3 touchdown interception ratio since week 7. You know what came just before week 7? Week 6 was a Thursday night football game against your Washington
Commies.
And it
was ugly.
Yeah, they got a mini bye, and suddenly, maybe I have to deal with one more, like, 2-touchdown, 1-interception game from Allen, and then the mini bye will cure all heading into the fantasy playoffs, and I can go back to my 5-touchdown, 400-yard passing games.
Maybe.
And salivate at my 3 free championships Josh Allen hands me on a silver platter. That would be lovely. Thank you, Josh.
By the way, you and I are playing this week.
No, we just played. I just beat you.
You did?
Yeah, I'm now 2-0 against you in fantasy football.
No. It's this week.
No. I have just bested you. Just defeated you this past week.
Are you sure?
I am 100% positive. I am now playing Harrison this week. I am Macho Mantis.
Yeah.
In case you forgot this.
I know who you are.
I am who you thought I was. And you let me off the hook.
I have a couple different leagues, and I just...
Here it is, week 12 against Bitter Creek Blitzkrieg, 129-112.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah, Josh Allen outdueled Patrick Mahomes.
And guess what? I got a D for my coaching last week.
Oh, that's a shame.
Usually I do much better. Wow.
I had an adequate game.
Damn you, just... Mantis!
So let it be known, I am undefeated, a career 2-0 against Dal, and unless he makes the playoffs, it'll stay that way until next year.
Yeah, I don't know.
You're only one game behind, I suppose.
I'm 6-6. I'm not exactly lighting things up. Anyway, sorry, going back to the pick'em.
We're both taking Buffalo.
Taking Buffalo.
Oh, good holy heavens. In a battle of unless you're a Falcons or a Steelers fan, you are trying to find another game to watch at noon. We've got Atlanta and Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh coming off of a victory. I'm still taking Atlanta.
And they look good. And Kenny Pickett looked good. But Atlanta, even though they're a team that Washington just beat, by the way, Washington Command Skins are 7-5. Mm-hmm. All four NFC East teams are in the playoffs.
We didn't get to talk about this last week because we didn't have a show either. But Cordarrelle Patterson, congratulations. Now the all-time kickoff. Return touchdown.
That was not against Washington, though.
No, that was against my Bears, a team he had three of those kickoffs. Four. And also, here's a fun one. Of his 9 career kickoff return touchdowns, 7 of them were either for or against the Bears.
Hmm.
There is your really... He's had 4 against us and 3 for us.
Interesting.
Isn't that wild?
That is. I look at this matchup and I think Atlanta is just a better team. Mariota is at least as good or better than Pickett. Cordarrelle Patterson is better than anyone Pittsburgh's throwing out there.
And their defense is way better.
And
what a weird world we live in.
And it's in Atlanta. And so for some weird reason, Atlanta's the underdog this week. I do not see it that way. I'm picking the Falcons.
I am also taking the Falcons. It's going to be hard for me to catch up to you like this. Maybe I do here, but sometimes you surprise me with these. You know that I am no optimist when it comes to my own Chicago sports teams in this pick'em. I will tell you when I think Chicago sucks. If Justin Fields starts, I am unironically, unbiasedly taking the Chicago Bears in this football game. Hmm. I am picking... Now, Trevor Siemian is not practicing. So if Fields doesn't go, it sounds like it's going to be Peterman this week, not Siemian.
The legendary Nathan Peterman.
If Nathan Peterman is starting in this football game, again, I am going back on Sunday morning and I'm flipping that. However, if this is Justin Fields and Green Bay cannot stop the run worth a damn... I'm taking the Chicago Bears, and I mean it. I am legitimately taking Justin Fields and the Bears to beat Green Bay in Chicago.
Green Bay's winning this game, and it doesn't matter who Chicago starts.
How many weeks, though, do you suppose we have said?
Aaron Rodgers owns the Bears.
Aaron Rodgers is having a hard time owning anything this year.
Yet he still owns the Bears.
All righty. Now, we do have the worst defense in the NFL. So he probably will have a decent game in this football game regardless.
I'm not saying Green Bay's going to make the playoffs. I'm not saying that. But they look so much better than they did a month ago.
And still losing.
And they've got a legitimate young wide receiver in Christian Watson that looks like the real deal.
Mm-hmm.
Alan Lazard and Randall Cobbs finally look like they give a crap. He's beamed the ball off their helmet enough times now that they're catching it. And they're using the running game better. Aaron Jones and Dylan.
Yeah, I do worry that the Bears' defense is so putrid that it won't matter what Fields
does. I just don't think Chicago can score enough points.
I think that Fields and Montgomery, I mean, if you have them in fantasy, this is the week to start them. They might legitimately both go for 100 yards rushing in this football game.
I guess I disagree in terms of, I don't think it matters who starts. I think the Packers win.
All righty. Maybe I can get one on this one, too. Jacksonville at Detroit. Jacksonville coming off what could be seen as they're not going to make the playoffs, but their biggest win of the year.
A nice turnaround win. And shout out to a couple of Wyoming starters, former Wyoming players, started for that team last week. Andrew Dewey Wingard at safety. And then also Chad Muma, their most recent linebacker pick from this last draft. He had 9 tackles in that game for the Jaguars, so shout out to those guys.
Detroit coming off of a loss that snapped their 3-game win streak to Buffalo.
What a
fight they put up to Buffalo. It was at home.
It was a tight game. In fact, all you need to do is look at the end of that screenshot where Josh Allen is hugging Stephon Diggs, and his face is just pure relief. That's how close that game was.
I think Detroit gets back on track. I do too. I think Detroit is going to beat the Jacksonville Jaguars.
They're at home.
They are at home. I like Doug Peterson. I don't think it's his fault that this will happen, but I don't think Jacksonville is a team right now that can win back-to-back football games. They are so dedicated to losing.
I like what Jacksonville's doing, and they're clearly fighting for Peterson, which, again, bringing up Dewey Wingard, a former Wyoming player, he had probably the quote of the week for Jacksonville players. People were asking about the win, and they asked him about Trevor Lawrence, and he's like, we have all the faith in Lawrence. He says he had to put up with so much crap last year with Myers. Just basically called out Urban Myers as being a terrible human being and a terrible coach, and saying how they would, and then they would run through a wall for Doug Peterson. That was a home. It's so interesting. It was such a home run hire after one of the biggest cluster frack hires of all time.
The only issue I have with Jacksonville is that they might have punted their rebuild by trying too hard a year early.
Maybe.
Because they are a little bit in cap trouble going into next season. So you're not going to get big. So you're going to have to draft really well to add to the team, because they spent all their money this last offseason, and all they got for it was Marvin Jones and Christian Kirk.
Who's done okay.
He's done okay, but is that the goal of a rebuild is to build a Super Bowl contender, right? It's not to go, let's win 10 games and make the wild card and woohoo, our rebuild is over. Christian Kirk is your wide receiver 1 because he's making the most money on your team. Is that your Super Bowl roster?
And Zay Jones is your 2. Zay Jones should be like your 4.
I mean,
which he was in Buffalo, and they got rid of him.
I like Trevor Lawrence. I think he was a little overhyped in college, but not too much. I really think he was really good. Poor Trevor Lawrence.
They'll be okay.
They will be okay.
But they're not going to win this week.
I
think Jamal Williams played at BYU. Gross. But he's got like 13 touchdowns. I think Jamal Williams and Swift feast.
It's hard for Swift to feast, though, when he's only getting 10 touches a football game.
Well, I guess we'll see. Minnesota.
Ooh.
Hosting the non-Zach Wilsons.
Now, normally, I just hate Minnesota because division and rivals and whatever. When we're not competing, they're the team that I root for to win the NFC North, because I hate Detroit and I hate Green Bay so much more than them. You're in my division, so please get out of our way. Hate the Vikings, if you kind of get my drift there. I have actual hate for Detroit and Green Bay. We're both in the NFC North. Hate for Minnesota, which is kind of evaporated this year since it doesn't matter. The Bears are going for the 2nd pick in the draft. That's our goal. But boy, the no Zach Wilson Jets have a different feel to them, don't they?
He's an asshole. He is that. Pardon my French.
But don't they seem like such a... They look like the Rex Ryan Jets with literally either other quarterback in there. Our quarterback is just competent enough that we can win.
Well, look at...
Mike White and Joe Flacco can check down and throw crossing patterns all the way to victory.
Look at what just happened. There's so much more to quarterback than just whether or not someone can make a throw. That doesn't mean they will. You look at the leadership qualities, and the Jets hate Zach Wilson. His teammates don't like him.
Mm-hmm.
And then you look at Garrett Wilson, your top receiver. He led that verbal assault, and then they bench Wilson. What happens? He gets 2 touchdowns the next week with Mike White.
And Elijah Moore looked good?
I think you... No, I'm not going to sit here and say...
This is a tougher matchup than I think.
Yes.
Yahoo, 87% are picking the Vikings, and I hate to be that guy. I'm making fun of it. I'm one of them. I'm taking Minnesota. But, it shouldn't be 87%. This is closer than we think.
It'd be interesting if that Breece kid hadn't gotten hurt.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they replaced him with James Robinson.
Yeah, but he's not... That other kid was really
He was explosive.
He was really starting to roll. I'm picking the Vikings because I still hate the Jets because Zach Wilson's still on the team. But inside, there is so much shameful joy. I am enjoying his sulking. And that's another thing. He hasn't been like, okay, I'm going to use this as an opportunity to learn something and get better. Nope. He's going to sit on the sideline with his hoodie on. And he's going to sulk. Mommy, they won't let me start for the Jets anymore. Now, screw you,
I'm
Zach
glad
Wilson.
Both of us have a Jet quarterback we can do this to, because you know how much I hate USC.
Yeah.
Maybe I don't rant about it enough as much as I do Green Bay, but, like, I hate USC. And I was so happy that Sam Darnold was every bit the garbage that I projected him to be going into that draft.
Did you see him in the post game? He looks like the after effect of a zombie apocalypse version of Sam Darnold.
Jets does to a man.
I guess. Oh, my gosh. He looked awful.
Now, maybe I could have caught you on this if you weren't a Washington fan, because you have a rule I don't have that you always pick Washington.
Yep.
Maybe I could have caught you on this otherwise, but probably not, because I am also picking Washington in this game.
I'm shocked that they're favored. In fact, in my head, I want to find out, maybe they'll say it during the broadcast, when's the last time Washington was favored playing at the Meadowlands against the Giants? It's got to be a long time.
What the Lions and Jaguars were for most of this year to losing, where, wow, they look really impressive. How come they keep losing football games? Is what Washington is to winning.
Ouch.
Every week you think, this is the ugliest victory I've ever seen.
I think it's beautiful.
As you look at at their schedule and you go, wait, they've had 7 ugly victories in their last 8 games?
6 of 7.
I believe it's 7 of 8 now after they beat Atlanta.
Yeah, they're rolling, dude.
I don't know that will continue into the postseason, but I think they're going to get to the postseason.
Who cares?
Well, theoretically, you should.
This year, we weren't supposed to do anything. We were supposed to start Carson Wentz.
So we're both taking Washington.
Yes.
The Giants.
Screw you, Giants.
They got a tough stretch of schedule coming up. They are at serious risk of not being a playoff team at all.
Here's the thing. The only thing that irritates me is usually when Washington plays the Giants, Daniel Jones morphs into the Caucasian Michael Vick.
Vanilla Vick, as they call him.
Yeah. And then Washington shoots themselves in both feet with a double-barreled shotgun. And also, but now, the Washington run defense, bring it on. Now, this is going to be not going to age well, and you're going to make fun of me next week, but bring it on, Saquon.
Well, I picked Washington, too.
We got Jonathan Allen and Daron Payne and Sweat. They are waiting for you this week, Saquon.
This is an incredible battle of two teams that both have powerhouse records, and both of them, every time they win, make you go, really? They won again? Like that?
Interesting.
It's the movable object against the stoppable force that are both somehow 7-win football teams.
Hey, Washington at least is starting to have an identity now. Their defensive line is finally paying off with all those first-round picks. And then Brian Robinson, the rookie. Has come in and given that team
You talked about leadership at quarterback, too.
Yeah, but Robinson's come in and given them a physicality that, not just from him, but I think that Gibson has answered also, because, again, unlike Zach Wilson, he didn't pout and go, oh, I'm not the starter anymore. He's like, fine, you want me to run harder? I'll run harder. I think Gibson has run his guts out this year.
You know who this Washington team reminds me of? Maybe this is going a little far back, but I'm a Bears fan, so I remember everything Bears. The 2005 Bears, where Kyle Orton won them the NFC North, and literally every single week, the Bears were winning 16-13, 19-17.
Hey, if you go if you go back to the 82 championship, the first strike shortened season that Washington won with Joe Gibbs, they literally were winning games in the teens, and Mark Mosley was the MVP of the league, the kicker.
That was hilarious.
And they needed every last one of them. Mm-hmm. So anyway, Joey Sly has been kicking well this year for Washington.
MVP.
Maybe. I don't know. No, Washington's MVP is Tress Way, which is interesting. He's the punter.
So this is interesting. The Vikings-Jets was one contender for this. This is probably the national game of the noon slot, you'd have to assume.
Mm-hmm.
This is looking like a battle of a pair of, I won't say it, let's say Giants instead. But the Titans are taking on the Philadelphia Eagles. I'm going to take Philadelphia here. I think that they just have more pop about them. The Titans are that consistent. They don't really drop their trap games. They don't do that. But they also don't tend to beat a lot of powerhouses. They just are. They're going to win 11 games.
They always are really solid defensively. Obviously, Mike Vrabel with their coaching staff. And then obviously they lean on Derrick Henry, which it's going to be interesting to see if Philadelphia can slow down Derrick Henry. That was kind of the book on Philly, that they can be run upon. They went out and signed a couple of different guys, but nobody's really tried to run on them since as much as Washington and Indianapolis did. Obviously the Titans are going to throw Derrick Henry at them because that's what they do.
Now they do have a shiny new Sue to play with.
Yeah.
We haven't
he's
seen
an
what
old
he's
man, gonna... dude.
Oh, but he's so filthy. We're not sure if Derrick Henry's going to take five carries before he ends up getting his ankle stepped on after a play.
I'll take Derrick Henry in that fight. Anyway.
Derrick Henry's a huge dude. I'm not taking anyone to fight against Ndamukong Suh.
But I'm still picking Philadelphia.
All right.
I think they're too explosive.
Start picking different teams than me.
I think Tennessee is a good team, and it wouldn't surprise me if they won this game. But they're going to have to prove to me that they can keep Philly off the field. And right now, I just don't know that they can.
This next one's going to be real quick. I know they just dropped a game to Jacksonville, but
yeah.
Baltimore has to beat Denver, right?
So here's an interesting stat I saw. First off, I am loving as much.
Is this the 18-point thing?
I just grew up hating Denver. They were on TV every week. It was kind of that, well, we're all Denver fans because we're in Wyoming. I'm like 500 miles away from Denver. What do I care? What do I care about Denver? And then I always kind of got teased for it in school because I was a Washington. Why do you like Washington? It's like, well, because I don't like Denver. Anyway, Carson Wentz, who has not played in a game in how many weeks? Seven?
Mm-hmm.
Has more touchdown passes than Russell Wilson this season.
Did you see Denver's defense? This sounds like an old Chicago Bears stat. If the Broncos offense scored exactly 18 points in every single game this year, they would be 9-2.
Yeah.
They are 3-8.
They're awful.
Their offense sucks.
Yeah, I think Baltimore wins easily. It's in Baltimore. In fact, this might be one of those games where if it's like, you know, 35-3, someone might be getting fired before they go home, Denver.
Yeah, Nathaniel Hackett is not going to last into next season. There's no way.
Or the offensive coordinator or something's got to change.
I thought Hackett had been calling his own plays.
Oh, well, that's got to change then. Yeah,
I believe. Yeah, he gave it up like 2 weeks ago, but it hasn't changed anything. They suck regardless.
Yeah, bad.
I'm going to say Baltimore disappoints a little.
Russell Wilson... I saw this on Twitter. I love this. Russell Wilson, someone said, if Russell Wilson was a real Christian, he'd give back that money he stole.
On that note, we're both taking Baltimore. Cleveland at Houston. Cleveland has not looked impressive whatsoever, but it is the return of Deshaun Watson.
Gross.
Houston is just so bad at everything. Poor Lovie Smith, you deserve better. You're going to get blown out in this football game. Nick Chubb is going to do unspeakable things to the Houston defense.
I hate.
Did you hear, though, that 20 of the 26 accusers...
Yeah, they're going to the game.
...or will be at this game.
I hate what Cleveland has done with Watson. I hate it. And especially where Jacoby Brissett has been pretty good.
He beat his old mentor.
He
beat Tom Brady.
He's just, I look at it and I think, and yet you guys went out and I can't tell you how much I hope this blows up in their face. And they end up paying Watson and his actually what I hope is I hope Watson ends up going to jail and they end up the Cleveland Browns end up paying all of these accusers, all of the victims for the next 20 years. That's what I'd like. I'm still picking Cleveland because this week is this week and Houston is that bad, but they should be ashamed of themselves that they went out and went all in on a piece of trash like that.
This next one feels like another time saver. Should we just say Seahawks?
And Seahawks.
Yeah. No Aaron Donald either, by the way. So
yeah.
Yeah.
No nothing.
The preseason Rams against the Seattle Seahawks.
No Cooper Kupp. No Matt Stat. Yeah, they're done.
They're cooked. I need them to win one more game, though.
I don't know that they're going to.
One! Because I need the Bears to jump them in draft.
Maybe they'll luck out.
One game. LA.
This next one. No, I'm thinking of a different game.
This next one is interesting. I was so tempted to take San Francisco. So tempted. This feels like the type of trap
I am day. Taking San Francisco.
All right. I think I might be rooting for San Francisco in this game because I just love the Kittle McGriddle boys. But I'm going to take Miami because every time I think San Francisco is going to pull their weird upset, it's always when I talk myself out of it. So if I pick Miami, that's San Francisco's best bet.
I think Miami has been on a great roll. They've looked really good. They're due for a letdown. And making a cross-country trip to a team that defensively is going to get after Tua and possibly put him to the turf a couple times.
Garoppolo has slowed down a bit, though, the last few weeks, which scares me a little.
They can still run the hell out of the ball, and he's still got lots of guys to throw to. Mm-hmm. And that offensive line, I have to admit, every time I watch San Francisco highlights, it makes me more annoyed at Dan Snyder and the Washington front office for chasing away Trent Williams. Oh my gosh. That guy, when healthy, is not human. He is like a monster. He sprints out of his lineman stance to get out to the outside of the hash marks and knock some defensive back on his butt. And it's just like, that's awesome. Imagine our guys running behind that. If only he had played. Oh, we had him and we pissed him off because, oh, our staff is so incompetent. We can't even tell him when he has cancer and he might die. You suck, Washington. You don't deserve Trent Williams. He's going to. I think San Fran's winning this game. Anyway, sorry, I'm rambling.
All right, so there's one. Maybe I have a chance to catch you with this one. Are you taking Kansas City?
I am.
I am taking, and not just to catch up. I'm taking. This is the time of year that we saw last year that the Burrowmeisters turned everything around. They're coming off a big win. They just beat Tennessee. It was a drag-out, knock-em-out game, and the Bengals took them down. And guess who's back? Back again.
Oh, is Chase back?
Chase is back. Tell your friends. He's going. He has played the Kansas City Chiefs twice. He has basically put up 400 yards of receiving against Kansas City in two games.
Yet we still don't know how healthy he's going to be.
He apparently was cleared medically to play last week, and it was Zach Taylor's decision to say, we need you for Kansas City.
I'm cleared medically to come to work every day, but that doesn't mean I'm in good shape to play.
Jamar Chase and Joe Burrow are the Peyton Manning, Marvin Harrison
maybe
of
they
this
are.
Generation.
And I wouldn't be that surprised. I mean, I like Cincinnati. Hey, Logan Wilson, remember? But I just think Kansas City's rolling right now. I think they've just got too many things going their way.
I will point out that I have a memory of this. You took Kansas City to beat the Bengals both times that they played last year.
Okay.
My Bengals.
Maybe I'm a slow learner.
I think Jamar Chase has a nice little, welcome back, Jamar. Would you like 30 targets? Does that sound cool? Good, because we need all of them. I'm taking Burrow and the boys. The Cincinnati Burrows are going to take down. First of all, though, I love. We don't have Manning Brady anymore, and that's a shame. But it feels like we replaced it with like 8 different, like maybe
yeah, there's a lot of
Brees
really good
versus Favre's, I guess.
Yeah.
And, you know, we talk about Allen, Mahomes. We got Herbert out there that can match. Joe Burrow and Patrick Mahomes. That's what daddy likes.
Lick your fingers when you're done.
I'm taking the Bengals. This is a game that featured two really awesome games a year ago that I fear is going to not be anything like that this go around. I'm going to take the Chargers with now a healthy receiving core.
Yes.
To
Chargers for me too.
Yeah, they're going to do some things that get you locked up outside of a football field to the Las Vegas
Raiders.
But
it's in Vegas, so what happens there stays there.
Yeah. Oh, good God.
Dallas.
Yeah, Dallas is going to smack Jeff Saturday around, make him cry just a little bit. Not too much, though, because he's a manly man, but just a bit. Like the one teardrop will roll down.
Well, here's the thing. Matt Ryan, I like Matt Ryan. In fact, he's probably a Hall of Famer. I mean, you could do a whole half hour show.
Every time you preface a statement with, hey, I like insert quarterback you're about to talk about here. What follows is about to be the most derogatory statement ever spoken.
It's not ever.
Erase the I like Matt Ryan, okay. But, and just start from there and
slow.
Let's see if I'm right.
He's slow. Sometimes, as Troy Aikman pointed out in this last week, sometimes he looks like a 37-year-old man trying to run away from the youngsters.
And the Cowboys have got that pass rush.
Micah Parsons might kill Matt Ryan this
week. Let's not even pretend like Micah Parsons is the only thing to fear.
I know.
That's the problem. DeMarcus Lawrence wreck your backfield.
I'm just saying, but Matt Ryan is going to have a hard... I think he's going to have a hard time finishing this game. He's going to get hit a lot. So, yeah, Dallas
so, right,
for
you
me.
Got Sam Ellinger who can just run. Just say,
he's
all right,
still
Sam,
not fast enough. Sam, he's not faster than Micah
there,
Parsons.
Just run outside the pocket and throw it away. We just need someone to be healthy for next
it's
week.
It's interesting because I grew up hating Dallas, and I still do. But there's really only one player. I mean, I hate the owner. Right? Jerry Jones is a tool. Mm-hmm. I think he's so arrogant that he keeps hiring crappy
coaches.
Is the
one player you hate Ezekiel Elliott?
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah. If that guy, never mind. I was going to go way too far there. I'm going to leave that over there. Yeah, I hate Ezekiel Elliott, but I like and respect so many other players on Dallas, and in fact, their last two guys that they picked high were guys that before they went to Dallas, that's who I wanted Washington to pick. I wanted CeeDee Lamb. I wanted Micah Parsons, and then they both went to freaking Dallas.
And then, so we're both taking Dallas.
Yes.
A game that we're going to have a little employee party this coming Monday.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're not going to get to watch this live, and that might be a smile. I love, the Saints are one of those teams that I just enjoy. I love watching the New Orleans Saints. They have cool uniforms, or they used to. Now they wear black pants.
Yeah.
Stop wearing black pants and white pants on the road. Gold pants, New Orleans!
I'm with you on that.
And much like how they ruined their very exciting gold pants, they ruined their watchability by making us watch Andy Dalton each and every week.
Not only that, if this matchup was in New Orleans, I would probably take the Saints because for some reason...
Dennis Allen has a weird habit of beating these Brady Buccaneers.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
It's, until this year when they disappointed me, so now I don't fall
for
that
anymore. But
this
one's in Tampa. The Bucs look a little better.
The Saints, they lost to Cleveland.
The Saints... The Saints, I just... Anyway, they still look a little better. They look better than the Saints. I'm taking the Bucs.
I'm also taking the Buccaneers.
Well, then what are you laughing at me for?
They lost to the Browns.
The Browns have won 4 games. They've beat 3 other teams. And they're going to win this week, too. Poor Texans.
Lovie Smith deserves better.
So, just briefly, because we are out of time. Who is Lovie Smith going to pick?
Number one overall.
Right, but who? Who is the guy?
I wouldn't.
Do you have a guy that you're like, okay, I'm picking this guy to help turn the franchise around because he's the first overall pick?
I wouldn't do this because you are so far away from competing anyway.
You'd pick the tight end from Notre Dame, wouldn't you?
Oh, you should totally do that. Anyhow, you shouldn't do this because you're so far away, you don't need to go quarterback yet.
Yeah, I agree.
You're not a one-year rebuild. You don't.
You need to go.
They're gonna.
To me, you need to go offensive line, the biggest, meanest one you can.
You could just. I would say, you got. What's his name? Skoronski?
Well,
the Northwestern kid who's just a steamroller.
Yeah. Or
Will Anderson.
Or can you trade back?
You could do that too.
And get two of the biggest, meanest offensive because they need everything.
They're gonna take Bryce Young.
Yeah. And ruin him.
They're gonna take Bryce Young. I don't know if it's really ruining. I don't really love any of the quarterbacks in this class. But they're the Houston Texans, and this is what the Houston Texans do. They're going to take Bryce Young. Lovie Smith will probably, knowing Lovie Smith, he'll advocate for Will Anderson. He'll say, well, I want that guy. Look at him. He's a, or knowing Lovie Smith loves a three technique.
I was going to say,
he loves Tommy Harris.
And yeah, he'll go defensive line.
He wants that Georgia boy.
Which will make zero impact on his one win team.
Immediately. But that's what you do to create a solid multi-year rebuild.
It's true.
You get the best player available for your
system. He's not going to be there at the end of the multi-year rebuild. That's the problem. Look how many coaches Washington's been to finally get all of their linemen out there.
It's retarded. I don't know how I forgot such a thing.
Yeah, it's right in your face.
Yeah, if I was Houston and I'm Lovie Smith, I'm advocating for that Georgia defensive tackle. He looks like a monster. They won't, though. They're going to take Bryce Young.
Yeah. Better yet, they should trade back and try and get like
I don't know why I'm disappointed.
Two second round picks.
I don't know why I'm disappointed. Take Bryce Young, and then the Bears can get Will Anderson or the Georgia defensive tackle or Skoronski or so. My apology. I think I drooled a little bit.
Just a little bit.
Wipe that up.
Careful.
Yeah, maybe it was Duke's Chinese food he had in here earlier. I was just smelling it.
Yeah, that smelled really good.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, we're out of time. We got the Wyoming Cowboys coming up that we got to put on the radio. So.
Yeah.
We need to put the wraps on this.
It's been fun. We promise this time, but we will be back next week live here on Spotify, on YouTube, and at svinews.com/podcasts. See you all next time.